Complete Chess Strategy, Part 8, The Three Stages of the Game. In Part 7, we reviewed the thought process that you can use to find the best move in any position of the game. We got a general overview from analyzing a complete game how our thinking will change during the game. This is an important thing to understand about chess strategy. Each stage of the game, from the opening to the middle game to the end game, has different properties that require different thinking in order to play them well. This is why a player can be great in the opening and the middle game, but go bad in the end game, or play the middle game and the end game well, but not play the opening well, which is more rare. In this lesson, I will give you a general overview of the strategy that you should focus on during each stage of the game. We'll start with the first stage, the opening. In the opening, both players have the same position and all the pieces and pawns are sitting on their initial squares, largely inactive. The scheme that we'll use for our strategy for the opening is a three-part scheme. Almost all the openings the top players use follow this scheme, and all strategically sound openings follow it. We know that the opening mainly revolves around developing your least active piece. So the first thing you want to do, starting from the opening, is develop your knights and then your bishops, your minor pieces basically. Other than your knights, you will need to move a pawn or two to get the rest of your pieces out. Once you have developed your minor pieces to their most active squares, which implies forward and towards the center, then you can focus on connecting your rooks by castling, which also keeps your king safe, and then completing your third objective, which is lastly developing your queen. If you follow this scheme in a game, you will have developed all your pieces to their most active squares from the opening, as well as be able to pick the most sound openings to study if they don't follow this scheme. Now that all of our pieces are developed, we can move on to the second phase of the game, the middle game, which will require a shift in our thinking, as we are not just focused on developing our least active piece, but we need to start thinking about other aspects of the game and the strategic elements we analyzed previously. The middle game is generally considered the most complicated to teach because there are so many different possibilities based on the numerous complications of the infinite piece possibilities. A great but complicated book on the middle game is Chess Structures by Mauricio Flores Rios. In this book, Mauricio states that before he was a grandmaster, he was able to play with general strategic understanding, but after he started playing higher rated players, he needed to learn the specific plans of each characteristic pawn structure. This falls in line with my own understanding, and I think you can go very far by simply improving your general understanding first. It is no use to learn specific chess information until you know the overall scheme of what you're trying to accomplish. In the middle game, your main objective is to start a successful attack. The four positional rules we know, one of them, which is attack, will help you accomplish this objective. Though it may seem simple to only focus on centralizing your pieces, or improving your least active piece, or trading or chasing back an opponent's piece, and starting an attack, this really is the base for all middle game play. It helps to focus on a concrete object for your attack. In doing so, all your pieces will be coordinated in their efforts to accomplish a solid goal. So, what are weaknesses specifically? A weakness is a pawn or a square that cannot be protected by any other pawn. Normally, this weakness will be on the opponent's 5th, 6th, or 7th rank. Sometimes, you have to induce these weaknesses. In order to do that, you focus on the general strategy of moving your pieces forward and towards the center to increase their activity. By doing this, your pieces will be in the prime placements to start a direct attack once a concrete object has been found. So, to recap, your overall middle game strategy after you have completed the three main opening goals is to start an attack. You do this by looking on the opponent's 5th, 6th, or 7th rank to find a weakness, which is basically a pawn or a square that cannot be protected by another pawn. After you have found this concrete object, you focus your pieces around the square where you try to induce further weaknesses or to win a pawn. Of course, once your activity has increased, your opponents probably will as well, and the contact between the pieces will force you to calculate numerous variations to determine the strongest continuation. Many games will end in the middle game because one player will develop a successful attack, that simply overwhelms the opponent. Of course, it helps to know the concrete strategy and planning you will use in a game, which is why learning specific chess information is helpful, but not before you have a good overall understanding of the general strategy and plans you will use in each stage of the game. If in the middle game, your attack did not result in an advantage for either you or your opponent, then normally pieces will be traded, and we will enter the third stage, the endgame. The endgame is all about the pawns. The main focus in an endgame is to either attack the opponent's weak pawns, or to push a passed pawn and gain a quantitative advantage through its promotion. The key factor in the endgame is using your king as a piece, because the pieces and commonly the queen have been traded. There is normally not enough forces to mount an attack on the king, and so whoever uses his king the most effectively will be able to have greater activity in order to accomplish the two main objectives of either winning the opponent's pawns or promoting your own pawn. And of course, you have to stop your opponent from accomplishing these objectives as well. The same rules of centralization, attack, increasing your least active piece, and keeping the opponent's pieces out of your territory apply in the endgame. Learning theoretical endgames helps to know the positions that you will be going for, but it is no substitute for knowing your overall strategy of what you need to accomplish. You will need to calculate long lines to ensure the concrete variations work in your favor, because time is a very important factor in the endgame. This is the reason Capablanca recommends studying the endgame above all else, because in the endgame you will learn to apply a very clear overall strategy as well as how to calculate long lines to accomplish it, which are useful in the other two stages of the game as well. I hope this overall scheme has been helpful to give you actual steps that you can use to find the best moves in your game. As you can see, chess is a thinking game, and in order to improve, it requires that you develop your own thinking above all else. Leave a comment and let me know what you think of this overall scheme, and if you can use it or have used it in your games to win. To give a quick recap, I want to go over the general scheme just so that you will have it clear in your mind. So in the opening, there are three main goals you want to accomplish. You want to develop, in this order, your minor pieces first, which are the bishops and the knights. And then you want to develop your rooks and then your queen. By doing so, basically you'll castle, connect the rooks, and then last of all, you'll develop the queen. From this point, you'll be in the middle game, where you want to start an attack. You'll want to find the opponent's weaknesses, which are the squares or the pawns that cannot be protected by other pawns, and you'll want to occupy the squares and try to capture those pawns. If there's no concrete object that you can attack, what you want to do is you want to increase your piece activity in the center and move your pieces as forward as you can possibly move them. If in the middle game you did not, or your opponent did not, develop an advantage, then normally you'll trade down pieces and pawns and you'll enter an endgame, where the focus is on promoting your own pawns or attacking the opponent's weak pawns. It's all about the pawns. And you'll use your calculational ability to figure out the best line and the best area to attack. So this is the overall scheme of the game. As you can see, it's quite general, but you can use it to figure out moves in any stage or any phase of the game. Thanks for following along, and let me know what you think about this scheme, and if you have used it, or if you think it'll be helpful to use in a game. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.